You make sacrifices because you have something more valuable, more pleasurable at the end of the sacrifice. And what hope does is hope keeps the long-term situation in view. I've been looking forward to being with you because I wanted to talk to you about hope and how to take responsibility for the level of hope that lives in your own life. I've been learning to cook. Yes, I have. And nothing extreme yet, but this last year or so, I've been exploring. And just to let you know, Friday I cooked this sea bass with asparagus. I have seafood. I'm telling you, it wasn't red meat. Occasionally, I like to explore the other vegetable world. Asparagus, mushrooms, and some of the tiny little potatoes we grow in our garden, and all cooked in duck fat, which is just the best way to cook. Anyways, can I hear an amen? Yeah. Amen. A salad, huge salad, with Parmesan cheese that I actually had sent over from Italy. It's the proper. Yeah, grated over the salad. Olive oil and balsamic glaze. It was a glaze I put on there. It was tremendous. Okay, you can go now. But I also took supplements. I take supplements to help fill in weaknesses in the American diet. And the encouragement that you receive from other people, I guess you can live by it if you want to, but it's not the meal. It's just supplements. The meal is what you find on your own to feed your own soul with. And we each have the responsibility to maintain the level of hope in our own life. Many people live in a place of famine, needing someone else to bring them good news, when God has given you actual legal access to an unlimited resource of refreshing and good news. He oftentimes hides what we need the most in the most offensive situation or circumstance. In Proverbs 25, verse 2, it says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search out a matter." So the glory of God to conceal a matter. He hides things for us, not from us. My oldest grandson, Judah, works for me at my house, and he helps take care of things that I either don't want to do or don't have the time to do. Most of it's the first one I don't want to do. And I pay him. I pay him well. And I think it was last week or week before last, he found an Easter egg that has been there for probably 2 years. Now, if you're thinking hard-boiled egg, no. We put money in plastic eggs. And I have one grandson that when he was younger, we had hard-boiled and money eggs. And he'd pick up an egg, shake it. If it rattled, he'd put it in his basket. If it didn't rattle, it was hard-boiled, he threw it back in the bush. He was a cash-only kid. He just cash-only. But my grandson, Judah, actually found an egg that we had put there with cash in it probably 2 years ago. God hides things for us. And then it goes on and it says, it's the glory of kings. It's the glory of people who know who they are, that know what they have legal access to and responsibility for. Think of it this way. There is a treasure hidden within reach that you have a responsibility to find, because you're discovering that treasure will affect multiple generations. Come on. Yes. We're not talking about just personal you know, just encouragement for yourself. That's huge. But it's not just personal pleasure, personal success. It's the responsibility of creating a momentum of being a generation who hopes in God in all situations. A responsibility. I have a responsibility to find, to apprehend, to lay hold of what God has put within reach. I remind you that that's the way he described the kingdom of God. The kingdom is the realm of his dominion. So everything that exists in heaven that he wants to be released, if you will, on earth as it is in heaven, is in that realm called the kingdom. And he said the kingdom is at hand. It's within reach. It's here, it's now, and it's obtainable. Unfortunately, many choose to live with the theology of a kingdom that is present, but never learn how to find the treasures that have been hidden. The enemy works hard to keep us distracted through anxiety, through fear, all that, those family of bad decisions, to keep us anxious so that we lose sight of, we lose awareness of the solutions that God has for us. The enemy works to make us anxious so that the problems we face appear bigger than the solutions we carry. God intends to work the impossible through a yielded people. What hope does is it positions me for surrender. What hopelessness does is it removes from my awareness the beauty of sacrifice. Hopelessness robs me of an awareness of why obey, why sacrifice, why pay a price. Let's make it simple. If let's say that you and your family were going to take a special vacation next year, and that vacation, you've got 12 months to save up for it, so you've decided to, I don't know, cancel the movie channel, to not eat out, you know, for 6 months or whatever. You make sacrifices because you have something more valuable, more pleasurable at the end of the sacrifice. Yeah. Yeah. And what hope does is hope keeps the long-term situation in view. It keeps perspective on the pain that I experience right now. The self-denial that I have in this moment will be worth it because we're going here for a vacation. Does that make sense? And what hopelessness does is it robs me of the delight of obedience. I may still be locked into the discipline of obedience. I still may do all the right things externally, but because of hopelessness, my heart doesn't get to feast on the joy of obedience.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.